I know, right? Is the computer ready? All right, it is 6:02. We will call our Monday, March 21st workshop to order. No. next, we have public comment. There is nobody in the waiting room or in the meeting room. Next, we have the proclamation for March as Endometriosis Awareness Month. So we have a proclamation, whereas an estimated 200 million people worldwide have endometriosis. One in every 10 women have endometriosis, a disease for which there is no known cure. And endometriosis is a chronic illness increasing at epidemic rates, which causes fatigue, infertility, painful menstrual cycles, heavy bleeding, painful intercourse, lower back pain, intestinal issues, and debilitating pain in women of all ages and races. And endometriosis is a disorder in which the tissue, similar to the inner lining of the uterus, endometrium, grows outside of the uterus. It is a hormonal and immune disease. It can be found in the ovaries, fallopian tubes, ligaments supporting the uterus, other areas of the pelvic cavity, and most recently found in the brain and lungs. And whereas patients with this illness often must learn to live with widespread pain throughout their bodies, extreme fatigue, infertility, emotional and mental issues, and other immune disorders. And whereas endometriosis is present in children as young as 8 and takes an average of 10 years to receive a diagnosis. Whereas the Endometriosis Association, local support group Endo Warriors of the Eastern Shore, and other groups around the county, around the country, have joined together to promote endometriosis awareness and support, including improved education, diagnosis, research, and treatment. And now, therefore, we do hereby proclaim March as Endometriosis Awareness Month. In witness hereof, we hereunto set our hand to the seal of the town of Federalsburg. So with us, we have Shannon Hannawald. Did I pronounce that correct?
Yes.
If you would like to step up to the podium, thank you so much.
Okay, first I just want to thank you guys for having me. When I started this last year, I didn't expect it to grow as much as it has, but I am so grateful that it has because it means that I am able to help more people and women realize that they're not alone and can speak up for themselves and advocate for themselves. My name is Shannon Hannawald. I am a wife and a mother. I am also 1 in 10. 1 in 10 women who have endometriosis. I am the founder of Endo Warriors of the Eastern Shore and an ambassador for the Endometriosis Association. Endometriosis is a disease that affects all aspects of your life. Emotionally, mentally, and physically, endometriosis can take everything from you, and it did to me until I decided it was time to fight back. Fight for awareness, education, and support so that generations after me do not have to go through what I and so many other women have. My pain started when I was 15 years old and started out as the doctor saying I had ovarian cyst rupturing. After that, my pain just increased and the help and knowledge from the doctors decreased. My parents took me to so many doctors, I had more CT scans and ultrasounds than I can count, all coming back with the results of nothing. How was that possible? I was in excruciating, debilitating pain that nobody could seem to help me with. My parents started to believe the doctors that I was just trying to get out of school, and honestly, when I look back on it now, they didn't really have a choice. Endometriosis not only affects you physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. I had severe depression and anxiety because nobody would listen or help me. I felt so alone and so dismissed by everyone, I truly didn't know what I was going to do. After 5 years, I finally found a doctor that would listen to me, and as soon as I told him my symptoms, he said, "I'm certain you have endometriosis." Endometriosis, what was that, and why had nobody else even mentioned this to me or my parents? The only way to diagnose endometriosis is through laparoscopic surgery. No blood work, no ultrasounds, no MRIs, no CT scans, just surgery. We scheduled my surgery, and sure enough, I had stage 4 endometriosis. That was the first of my 13 surgeries to try and help remove the lesions to help with the pain. One of the other main symptoms of endometriosis is infertility. The longer it takes to diagnose, the less chance you have of getting pregnant. By the grace of God, I was able to have my first son with no intervention, but for my second son, I had to go through fertility treatments. Endometriosis has taken so much from me. I missed so many important dates and celebrations with family and friends. It took away my ability to have children like other women. It took a baby from me during fertility treatments. A baby that was loved and dreamt of. A baby that is missed and talked about daily. Endometriosis has no cure, only treatments. Some doctors will say to have a hysterectomy, but that will not stop it from growing on other organs. Some women do not experience the pain from endometriosis. They only find out about their condition when they are unable to conceive a child. Unfortunately, there are not many doctors, especially on the Eastern Shore, who have any knowledge about this disease. I have had numerous doctors tell me that they had 30 minutes of education about endometriosis in medical school. That makes absolutely no sense. If endometriosis affects 1 in 10 women, why are the doctors and nurses only being educated for 30 minutes about this disease? Thankfully, over the past 20 years, there has been more awareness and education about endometriosis, but we are nowhere where we need to be, not even close. I feel as though my niece said it best, and it applies to all of us who fight endometriosis. She used the quote, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." This quote to me shows such importance in each of our stories and the constant battlefield we are on. We can take our diagnosis and grow from it and can define our character and make a difference for others. I know some women do not want to speak publicly about a disease that is so personal, so I will speak for them. I will not stop until when someone says the word endometriosis, every single person will know what it is as much as they know what strep throat or an ear infection are. It is imperative that we all work together and support each other through this journey. My passion and drive are because I do not want anyone to go through what I have, but I have chosen to fight because you never know who is watching and learning from you. I ask you just to remember, because someone looks okay on the outside doesn't mean they are okay on the inside. The pain from endometriosis feels like a million knives stabbing in your ovaries while they are trying to carve out your insides. So I ask you to remember this point in time if someone says that they have endometriosis, and you will know how they feel. Endo affects each of us differently. It is such a complex disease that it requires numerous specialists for each patient. There are no two stories the same. A quote by Maya Angelou was brought to my attention recently, and I think it defines endometriosis perfectly. Each one of us has lived through some devastation, some loneliness, some weather superstorm, or spiritual superstorm. When we look at each other, we must say, "I understand. I understand how you feel because I have been there myself." We must support each other and empathize with each other, because each of us is more alike than we are unalike. I will always be 1 in 10, but I also will always be the one who speaks up and fights for help for anyone who suffers from this disease and their support system to help them get through this difficult path in life. And Dawn is going to share her story for the first time tonight to you all, so please listen and... I'm very grateful that she has decided to do this because it's not something easily done.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Dawn. I'm 35 years old, and here is my story. At the young age of 12, I began having issues with kidney infections. We were advised to keep me hydrated and to see a urologist. The urologist suggested changing my diet and also suggested staying hydrated and following up every 3 months. About 3 weeks after that, I was hospitalized with an acute kidney infection that kept me in the hospital for 4 days. They sent me home with antibiotics, and for a while, I was doing okay. About 6 months later, there I was, again, on an ambulance in excruciating pain. Another acute kidney infection. The doctors just couldn't figure out why. I had no family history whatsoever. I continued to follow doctor's orders, and for a few years, I was okay. No kidney infections, but a lot of other issues that no one seemed to be able to explain. It was very frustrating. Fatigue, low blood sugar, anemia, and no one knew why. I dealt with it the best I could with the support of my family and close friends. The time came in my life where I was settled and ready to be a mother. My husband and I were elated to see a positive result on my pregnancy test. We waited a while to be sure that our baby was healthy and told our family the exciting news. A few months passed, and my worst fears came to life at my prenatal checkup. Our baby didn't have a heartbeat. It brought a pain and a sadness that I have never known. I gave myself time and was ready to try again. This time around, things were going well. 2 weeks into my second trimester, I was hospitalized due to another kidney infection. At my next prenatal appointment, it was suggested that I have some additional blood work done to be sure that all was well. When the results came back, it was evident that I was in kidney failure. The rest of my pregnancy was very stressful. I was in constant pain and had no choice but to take medication to keep it at bay. On March 29, 2010, I gave birth to my beautiful daughter, Samantha. I've had three pregnancy losses since then. In November of 2017, I was diagnosed with endometrial adenomyosis. The only option is to take a contraceptive or to give up my chance of ever being a mother again. Pregnancy is too risky, as I have a daughter already who needs me. I'm not ready, but I must do this sooner than later because of the damage to my organs. I'm eager to share my story with others to raise awareness. It is paramount that we are up to date on our wellness exams. I pray that moving forward, we will find a cure for this disease. I will proudly raise awareness in hopes to help others. Thank you all for listening. I am 1 in 10, and this is my story.
Thank you for sharing. I didn't realize the only way they could find that was through surgery.
Yep.
That's amazing that with all of the technology that we have and all the different tests that they can't find some way to...
It's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
And you know, Shannon and myself just have a lot of hope for our future generations that by the time... You know, they reach 8 years old, 9 years old, because that's when the issues truly begin for most women, that there will be answers, that there will be a cure, that there will be better treatment. And if it's this frustrating for us, I can't imagine how doctors feel to not have answers. So
that's what we're hopeful for.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. I really appreciate that. And I mean, I didn't know much about it until, you know, you guys started reaching out. And I appreciate you for reaching out. Thank you.
Absolutely. And
we'll help spread the word for sure.
We really appreciate you all.
Yes. Very, very, very much. Thankful. And hopefully we can keep working together and keep raising
our we're going to.
Yeah.
She has no hope.
You know what I mean.
We're going to. We'll just keep bugging everyone until they answer us. Yep.
Nope, that's a great cause, there's a lot of people you can help, so we appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Yeah, and sometimes all you do have is the support of other people around you. When you don't have anything else, when you don't have answers, when there is no solution, at least you have a rally of support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to have that because I felt so alone, and nobody had any idea what I was going through or talking about. It's nice to see when I go to meetings, I have so many people that say, oh, well, my wife has that, or my sister has that, or my daughter has that.
But I don't really know what it
is. And then I have doctors in the emergency room ask me questions. And I'm like, why do I know more than you know? But we are working on changing that. So
Thank you all so much for having us.
We appreciate all the work that you're doing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You ladies have a good evening.
You as well.
Have a great evening.
Can you send that to me?
I will. Yep, I'll send you the picture, and then we'll send you a copy of that. I'm going to fix it with the Wii, and then I'll get it signed, and then we'll send it back to you.
Awesome. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you. Thanks, guys. So I do need a motion from somebody for that proclamation.
That we proclaim March as Endometriosis Awareness Month.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes.
It's a shame she come at the end of the
month. Yeah.
All right, next we have the fiscal year 2022-2023 budget overview. Town Manager Durick.
Madam Mayor, members of the Council, this is a high-level view of the budget. It's a budget basically without the Excel number sheets to go along with it, which are still in process. But just by way of overview, there are some things I'd like to bring to your attention and put into some context. First of all, compared to the last two fiscal years, we have a little bit more clarity on some issues, fewer uncertainties than we had during the COVID years. I'll just go over these first. At this date, several of the important revenue lines are known. This is particularly the case with the constant yield projection. Secondly, the final rule of the guidance from the Treasury Department, U.S. Treasury, on the acceptable expenditures under the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, allocation are known, and that's been discussed. So there's clarity on what we can and can't spend money on. Now, finally, the potential increase in permitting and inspection fees associated with outstanding potential industrial development. While that is on the horizon, there's more certainty that that project will actually happen. There's still some uncertainty as to when it actually may happen. It may be the before this fiscal year ends, or that's looking increasingly unlikely because there's only one quarter left. But it may be during the fiscal year 22-23, again, relatively low investment of stamp time for a relatively potentially positive deal as far as fees are concerned. So those are three things which will, at this point, are known or mostly known that will go into the last 2 years. We weren't exactly sure, but of course, American Rescue Plan only came out March of last year, but the interim rule didn't provide finality. It just provided some interim interpretation. Next, the town's fund balance and reserves can be bolstered by certain actions that bring in one-time revenue, which can either be spent on one-time expenditures or put into town savings. Staff recognizes, and I'm sure Mayor and Council do as well, that this is a cash flow. The cash flow nature of town operations, especially as it pertains to our capital projects, expenditures, and corresponding reimbursements. An increase in RIF and reserves would provide a fund balance and give us a cushion. There are several ways to add to this cushion, which at this point, neither of which are showing in the budget, but on the draft budget, which may, before the budget is finalized. One is a six-figure revenue increase from the sale of the lease of the cell tower. Another one being the sale of the 115-117 North Main Street building. So the president's budget document shows neither of those actions occurring, nor the corresponding revenues. They are potential out there to have a deal, though. Just by way of approach, some of you may remember a January 19, 2021 meeting. Staff presented the mayor and council with some proposed fiscal policies. Some of these are relatively standard stuff, balanced budget annually by June 30th. One, estimate the revenues using objective and analytical process. In the case of assumption or uncertainty, conservative projections will be used on the revenue side. The town will maintain a level of expenditures that support essential services and promote quality of life to the residents. Then the fifth bullet there, the last bullet from next to the bottom, has a red asterisk next to it. The town will forecast its general fund and other fund expenditures and revenues for a five-year period and will update that forecast annually. The forecast will be taken into consideration when preparing the budget recommendations. Not exactly happening that way this year due to a couple of uncertainties, not the least of which is we haven't had financial analysis done, but the ARPA funds allow that to happen through a firm, again, like Davenport & Company, who has the capabilities to do this. The other thing is not only do we not know what fiscal year we'll see the spike of permit fees come in for industrial development, but we don't know what that looks like as far as tax assessment is concerned. So the likelihood is in five fiscal years, we've got some industrial development going on that we don't have today, but I can't tell you what the tax revenue might look like. You can only speculate, and speculation is a poor basis on which to do any kind of forecasting. So once we know what the development looks like, what it's going to mean for tax revenues, that's going to be a better way to do forecasting, because right now,
can't tell you.
You know, we've seen a footprint of a building, and we've heard different interpretations of how much investment's going to be in that building, not knowing exactly what's going to be taxed at what rate. So I can't tell you. But once we have more clarity on that, that will help the projections, because that will be a relatively stable amount of income tax revenue from that one development. The town will work to maintain a diversified and stable revenue system. recognize the short-term fluctuations in any one revenue source or parenthetically expenditure like fuel, as we're experiencing currently. Town will avoid targeting revenues for specific purposes whenever possible. Understandably, you have to do that sometimes, but otherwise allow maximum funding flexibility and funding decisions based on an annual basis. One-time revenues will be used for one-time expenditures only, or put in reserve. And the town will investigate potential revenue sources, particularly those that will not add to the tax burden of residents or local businesses. So just to cycle back up, that would be one of the reasons to look at things like one-time sale of assets. It's a substantial amount of money coming in. It's a one-time transaction, but it brings in revenue without raising taxes. And as well, the annual budget will establish measurable goals and objectives to allow reasonable time to accomplish those objectives. For example, that's what the ClearPoint strategy software allows us to do as well, to track some outcomes. These haven't changed much from a year ago. These are the operational department priorities. The first one is compliance with various state and federal obligations. The second one is facilities and capital assets maintenance and upkeep. And again, this is assisted by the grant project. So you think of the wastewater pump stations. That's a substantial expenditure of money. It's an obligation we have to meet. However, that's basically only going to be funded through either long-term debt or grant funding or a combination of both. The third is employee salary compensation and development. This is really for recruitment and retention purposes. We're doing the best we can. That's discussed a little bit, a little bit later on in the report. Fourth is fund balance levels and ready reserves. The audit that you received for the 2021 fiscal year, just received for the year that closed out June 30th, shows a little bit of improvement on the general fund reserve side. Current fund balance reserve, according to that audit report, as of, again, June 30th of 2021, shows 1.3 months or 39 days of general fund expenditure reserves. That's up from the 0.6 months we had a year ago, or 18 days of reserve. The current reserve would need to increase by about 50% to get us to the Government Finance Office Association minimum for responsible public financing, which is 2 months or 60 days. So we're going in the right direction on that, and it was a good year on that. And then the last of the budget priorities, community amenities and quality of life, which include the parks, trails, open spaces, as a priority for funding, all as augmented as well with code enforcement to help residents keep their properties on a private property basis, not just the town's public property. Up to code. All right, so what's particular about the current budget? No proposed new taxes or fees. Outsourcing residential trash collection at the rate received in the vendor's proposal increases the monthly collection from the current $13.18 to $13.55 a month, which is a 2.8% increase. Staff's going to be proposing an increase in the water and sewer connection fees from the current $2,500 to $3,500. Thinking there, that's the cost of doing business for development. $2,500 is relatively low. It takes you from a $5,000 commitment to a $7,000 commitment for anyone building a $150,000 home in the town of Federalburg. That $2,000 is barely noticeable. And one of the reasons for that increase is that if the user pays, which is meant to address the inequity of the following bullet, which is a non-user pays, there's going to be proposing the ending of the unserviced vacant lot utility charge. Vacant lot is, well, unserviced vacant lot. So if you've got a vacant lot that's infill, where there's already a water and sewer line right not in front of you, you should be paying a utility charge. If you've got a vacant lot out in the woods where there isn't even a utility line running out to you, I don't know what you're being charged for. I can't tell you that that's an equitable approach. And those cases, when someone goes to develop, that's when they should be paying, when the infrastructure goes in front of their property. It's another one of the justifications for the increase in the connection fees and a decrease or a reduction or elimination in the unserviced lot fee. Next, the solar panels. The solar panel project is complete, operational, has been since November. We've already started to see some generation of the solar credits. Those solar credits are worth money, and there'll be revenue opportunity there for the sale of those credits, 1,100 by name at a particular price that's regulated in the market, but we can talk about that. Same thing, the solar panel project is projected to reduce the operational cost of the water and sewer, of the sewer plant operations to the tune of about $160,000 a year. So what was projected, and again, is based on the market of the sale of the credits, about $218,000 to the good between revenue from sale of credits and savings from our electric bill as a result of the solar panel projects on an annual basis. So that's being factored in as well. Staff's proposing no new staff positions will be created, but also no existing positions will be eliminated. Staff's proposing a 2% cost of living, which is far shy from the 7.5% inflation rate of 2021. We frankly can't meet it, but it is at least offset by some of the premium pay expenditures out of ARPA for government employees, which ARPA allows for under the final rule. And again, pending satisfactory performance evaluation, and that's a currently ongoing and concluding process, grade level step adjustments to several employees to base pay to bring them up to where they should be based on the step scale. Premium pay, as I mentioned. Additional vehicles we acquired through the adopted lease agreement with Enterprise. Acquisition of a backhoe and attachments for excavation. So we're out of the mini excavator business based on conversations with Public Utilities Director under the American Rescue Plan Act final rule. Capital asset management maintenance program for both water tanks. That's kind of fallen off the radar for a while. But that's something that staff's looking at this year to get back into at least a phased approach for one fiscal year. Looking at the money we're going to be saving on the utility side, or working in a maintenance program for the tanks becomes something we can do. Capital projects not completed in the current year, so Chambers Lake Dam is ongoing and Marina Bulkhead repairs are ongoing. Neither one is really started. The likelihood is neither one of those will be completed during the current fiscal year, but you never know. Current pending projects, Old Denton Road Water Main Replacement Project, that's scheduled to start in the fourth quarter fiscal year. We're still trying to settle on an acceptable date for the pre-construction meeting. 115-117 North Main Street building improvements, that's ongoing. There's been some correspondence back and forth about the grant with DHCD, so there's been some latitude afforded there. The Marina Park stormwater and flooding design and park enhancements, scheduled to begin in the late summer or fall. And as mentioned earlier, the sewer pumping station upgrades is funded by the Maryland Department of Environment. So that was submitted by Rao, our engineering firm, at the end of January to the tune of about $2.4 million for full funding of that project. We're waiting, and if last year was any indication, we won't know until probably the end of May. end of May. Oh, no. So it becomes tough to budget if you don't know until end of May or June. But we'll make that adjustment if need be. And that will be a welcome support of funding if we receive it this year. We didn't last year. The AMI water meter system upgrade likely to begin at least in the current fiscal year. The RFP is out, and we're in the review phase of that. So April 2nd is the date to have the cost proposals in. And then local street repairs, again, allowable under ARPA final rule, proposed that $800,000 is put aside for that. Engineering likely to start in the current fiscal year, although that's not been discussed, but certainly engineering should start sooner rather than later. This way we don't lose the weather to get an actual a paving season before it starts getting cold. So that's what it looks like at this point for the budget. We'll bring back the balanced budget, and again, my expectation is there may be some late May or June adjustments based on a few things, particularly related to the capital projects. The operational side of it's pretty cut and dry. It's basically this current year's budget plus 2%. But we won't do another capital project side of it until a little bit further along into the spring. So that's what we've got by way of a high-level view of the budget. I'm happy to answer as many questions as you have.
The only question I have is the price for the hookup, which, and I agree with people that if they're not even near a utility, why are we charging them for a vacant lot if they're not even, they can't even access it, but yet they're paying for it. And but you said it was comparable to, you know, it's still fairly reasonable at the price of raising it to $3,500 versus the $2,500. So, and then it's like if we end up selling some stuff, I would like to kind of like put some money into like stuff around here, including chairs that we discussed. So, but do you guys, anybody have any questions for regarding what was presented?
Just on the 115, 117 North Main, if it's sold, you were talking about putting that money into fund balance. Wouldn't that money go back into the small business loan program or no?
I don't know, to be honest. The likelihood of being able to sell it to recoup all the costs.
Well, I'm not even talking about recoup, but I'm just...
So how much was taken out of that loan fund? Do we know?
100 and some odd thousand, right?
I'm sure of it.
Yeah. I want to say like 125.
So did we pay for her to buy that building and then she defaulted on it, or was that building just, she bought the building and it was posted as collateral for a different loan?
That's correct.
But we gave her a loan for $125,000? Shoot.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't review that business. Wow. Okay.
Ideally, we sell it for what passes for profit. Now, investing $100,000 in a $90,000 building doesn't give you $190,000.
No.
But it gives you an approved $90,000 building.
Right.
That shouldn't be taken away for a song.
No, my only thing was, say we sell it for $100,000. My question is, I would view that as that $100,000 should go back into the small business loan, so there's money there to loan out if or when people come back, since that's where the money came from to start with, not go into a reserve fund.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's my take. It's the only point I wanted to make on that.
Is there just on that point, just looking through the auditor's communication, maybe I read it wrong, but I thought they reported that that small business fund had north of $500,000 in it.
Is it back up to that much? Because it had gotten down at one point.
$581,000, something like that. So if that's the case, how much do we need to carry in it, too, is the question.
Because when was the last time somebody came and asked for money? Besides St. Michael's.
Yes, I was going to say St. Michael's.
St. Michael's was the last one I remember being at a meeting. I wasn't even on council. So
I think at one point it got down there, though, didn't it? I thought it, yeah. Because we had
several payoffs.
Yeah, we had St. Michael's and Federal Brewing Company.
Right, I know the hardware store had one. I think he's paid off.
Routinely gets one, doesn't he? Marty, Meredith.
He usually
he's still
buys.
Paying, isn't he?
He said he's going to turn one over for a truck.
Yeah. That's what he's normally done. I mean, it wasn't necessarily designed for that purpose. but it's been used for that purpose. I mean, it was designed more for something that was going to create a job or whatever, right. But I guess if you don't have a truck, somebody ain't got a job either, so you can look at that either way you want. So
he's been faithful, at least.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we have the money...
So, yeah, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't know there was quite that much in there, but I do know at times it has been used heavily, so...
Yeah. Christy, how about the folks at the winery? Are they back in business, or... Because they asked for a suspension there for...
The partners are having problems.
Yeah, weren't they trying to buy each other out or something?
They were trying to... remove one of them off, and the only way we would let them do that was if they put up other collateral.
Right.
So
I talk with both. I don't know why they won't talk to each other. I'm not getting into that.
Yeah, no.
So. But it's still being paid, right?
They have two loans with us. One is paid automatically every month. The other one, I'm fighting with them because he's supposed to pay it. No, he's supposed to pay it. No, he's supposed to pay it. Well, somebody better pay it, or somebody's going to court.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm working on that now.
Yeah, I think a letter from
it got caught up from where it was behind anyway. Okay. Now we're just trying to figure out who's actually going to continue to pay.
Well, one pays 6 month and the other one pays 6 month and be done with it. Just pick which month you're paying.
Who pays it, but somebody better.
Right? For sure. Anything else, Councilman Willoughby?
Oh, good.
Councilman Zoll? Mm-hmm. Councilman Wendell? All right.
You're all still impressed. I saw it was $581,000. That's what you're impressed about.
That was impressive. Picked out because it was a large figure of that, and you're like, oh, what's that number?
I look at it all the time. I'm like, God, I can't touch that.
If only. Can I get a loan to, put new carpet and chairs up here? And
can we loan ourselves?
I know. Can we loan ourselves some money to,
business, right?
Yeah, we're a small business, you know?
What balance is that supposed to maintain? And what are we supposed to do? Same question is like with the ARPA money. ARPA money right now has almost been 9 months of gain in interest.
Bet
so we should be on beyond 1.3.
So is the interest then free for us to do with what we want since it wasn't given to us by the federal
government? Technically ARPA money.
Apparently okay. It's apparently okay to they want it spent, so you can't keep it up. But I'm sure there's going to be some places that keep it until
last
2024. This way it gets 2 years worth of interest if they can find a good yield on it.
Right.
I don't know that we've got a particularly good yield, but right now it's been 9 months worth of a nice sum of money in interest.
I'm going to bet you $581,000 if we don't have a policy on what the balance should be.
Oh, I'll take that bet.
Oh, no.
No.
I'm sure it does say what it was just there to loan out. And
right.
When it got to nothing, then there was
nothing
to loan. You waited
some
for people to pay you back to then loan it back out
so
again.
So maybe that's something we need to look at it at some point.
I bet. So.
Yeah, because if it's supposed to carry a minimum balance and, we're getting money back from... Do we charge people interest?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
So if we're getting extra money back into the fund, maybe that interest could go for funding...
I'd be curious to see where it started at.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we have to have a record of...
We have to put some money into it.
That was a grant, right? Ain't it what we did establish? At some point, somewhere in this building, there should be a record of what the grant was. And if the grant was $250,000, then that tells me $200,000 or $300,000 of it should be able to be spent as we decide, because it has nothing to do with the grant.
Or we look at it now and go, well, that grant was 15 years ago, and... A healthy balance is
somewhere between
300 and 500.
Well, right.
You know what I mean? And as long as the balance is there.
Well, there should be, we should be able to establish the baseline of it from what that grant was.
Yeah.
We just have to
find it
mm-hmm. from the archive.
So how long has that been in play?
Like 20 years?
I want to say it was in play in 2003 when I sat here the first time. Yeah, I don't know how much before that, but I know it was in play back then, so.
Depending on how much you take out of there, that's your reserve. It's your reserve up to 60 days, right?
Mm.
You figure everybody who's able to borrow it and paid it back, if they're paying even cheap interest, I mean,
mm-hmm.
all that is accumulated now, getting interest from the bank, and so.
Right.
Cool.
That's good. All right, next we have the low-income household water assistance program memorandum of agreement revision.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, the council follow-up from the meeting on the 7th relative to the question of indemnification. Town attorney drafted language for section 21, which is attached. The attachment, or the amendment rather, shows up as item B under section 21, whereby the department also indemnifies the utility. Whereas earlier, the utility, which is in the town, indemnified the department, as it say, state. So that's just that language as was discussed. The utility, which is in the town, is indemnified against liability for any suits, actions, claims of any character arising from or relating to negligent performance of the department under this agreement. And this has gone off to the state folks, and they're awaiting the town's action. I have not heard any response as to whether they are for it or against it.
So we don't know whether they've accepted our changes.
Correct.
Okay.
This is basically the change.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I know Lindsay was okay with us signing it as long as they accepted this change, but we don't know if they've accepted the change.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
And they may not. They may not have any. They may not have any opinion on it until after the town formally signs the change and sends it to them. Right now, they've seen this, they've seen the draft document with section E attached, subsection E attached to it.
So do we? So I have a hard time signing something that they might not accept, right? I would like their word that they're going to accept it before we actually turn in our formal signature on something that we're willing to enter the program without us being protected. Unless, I mean, you could make a motion that we'll sign and turn in based on Section 21 being accepted the way that it is.
The document you signed would include E.
Correct, but if that's not their, if they don't agree to those terms, we edited the document and
right.
changed the terms.
But then if they don't agree, they don't sign it.
Right.
And send it back.
Then
it's
null
and
void.
Right.
Because then we just don't participate.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so does somebody want to make a motion that we will turn in the low-income household water assistance program memorandum of agreement revision
yep.
with the additions to section 21.
I make a motion to authorize the mayor's signature on the memorandum of agreement between Maryland Department of Human Services and us with the addition of section E in article 21.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have the town bicentennial update. So I have presented the Historical Society and the Lions Club, and I have representatives from both clubs right now, and I am presenting to the Ruritans next month. We have our first official, like, community full committee meeting scheduled for April 11th at 6. We're going to do it at Let's Brunch Cafe, so people, if they want to eat, they can eat. If they don't want to eat for the meeting, they don't need to eat. The two of the people that were on the committee volunteer, they have been sent their notices, and I've talked to one of them about that meeting, and they've all been notified of the meeting, so hopefully they can come. We've started with a rough outline. We are looking at doing so if you guys have ever been to, like, seen Chicago, Ocean City did the seagulls. Like, you kind of get sponsors and you paint, like, a large something. So our large something is going to be a giant 77-inch sturgeon that we are going to have people paint, sponsor, decorate to put along the river and the river walk. The local company, there's a local taxidermy company here in town. They can get us the fiberglass sturgeon. And we will have people Ooh. Sign up for them and paint them.
That wasn't where I thought you were going.
As our public art.
I know you, your face has got like you could have bought me for a dime.
Not a bet. $581 million.
Million?
That'd be awesome. Thousand.
We're definitely getting new furniture then.
I wouldn't have bet that on a sturgeon though.
So we were talking around and kicking around some stuff that live in the river, and the chief was like, we could do the sturgeon. It's been around for over 200 years, just like the town, and it has survived 200 years, just like the town of Federalsburg. So we thought it was kind of fun. We think we can get enough people to sponsor them and paint them. Our thought is the town would get one, and then we would, and we want to talk to you about the, so we would thought that maybe at Colonel, we would approach the art students, right, to submit their design by the end of the school year. And then the committee would vote on the winning design, and then in when school starts, right, whoever won the design, they need to have it painted. So the Historical Society is having a their Heritage Day on October 15th. So the night of October 15th, we would do, like, our bicentennial kickoff. That's where we would, like, have, you know, the level, the sponsor level of giving, kind of like an outline of the next year, start generating the buzz, and present our fish. But we would be getting interest in the meantime of people that want to get the fish, because of the way the taxidermy is, they need enough lead time. They will, and they gave us a really good price, and they're basically giving it to us at cost. Each, the 77-inch Atlantic sturgeon is about $1,500, completely clean, and it's all fiberglass. So this picture here, this is a, this will give you an idea, but this is a 55-inch striped bass. That's how big it is. That's 55 inches. So we're looking at 77 inches along the river. And the people that buy them and sponsor them, right, they would get them to hang. It's, it'll be a wall mount, right? They, we're going to put it on stakes in the ground, but then the companies will put them wherever they want to display them.
That's a big one.
It's a big.
It'll be almost 2 feet longer.
So you're thinking businesses will pay $1,500 to buy their own.
And
they get it and they decorate it, right? And then we would have the public vote on the best, on the winning fish. And the winning fish at the end of the bicentennial year gets, like, a prize or something. Why are you laughing?
You're fine.
I mean, don't you think? I mean, I think that'll be
cool. I think it's cool. Yeah. I think it's cool.
Nobody's done the giant sturgeon. It will be something that will be very memorable for us.
Do we have businesses or groups that are going to pay the
I think so. Okay. Now, so what we would do is we would get a gauge on who wants to do that first, mm-hmm. right? It's so the Historical Society is, we're opening an account with the Historical Society.
Okay, cool.
So money will go into the 501c3, so they get a tax deduction for any money that they give to the bicentennial celebration.
Nice.
That will help us with people that want to participate. And we're not looking to make any, basically the town is looking to basically
right.
cover our costs
right.
on everything. We're not looking to, we're not going to make any money off of this. But we're looking to, you know, advertise and have a great year for Federalsburg next year. So I liked that we could deal with somebody local, and they were like, oh, we might sponsor our own because they wanted to. I'm like, it's what a better way to sponsor your taxidermy business than to,
mm-hmm.
you know.
My question would be, do you need to charge more for the fish? Because if you have a business pay $1,500 for the fish, are they then going to turn around and donate money to the bicentennial to help you all out?
So, I mean, so we could. So there's different,
be
so we're working
off
on sponsor levels.
$200 or $500 extra for the fish, so then you automatically had money coming in for a sponsorship, so to speak, with the fish.
Right.
I mean, that's
prohibitive, though. I mean,
well, right, but that's my point. I say Wayne because it's Wayne, but you
right.
know Wayne.
Well,
yeah.
I already know Wayne's going to buy
Wayne
fish.
Will
so,
right.
so you have a business, they give you $1,500 for the fish, and they're all about painting, and they do a great job and stick it there, but then are they going to come behind that and want to give you $500 extra for a sponsorship level to help out with all the other associated costs? I think you may be asking a lot.
That's the discussion that we were trying to figure out as far as sponsorship levels.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy a fish, right, do you tack on extra money and you automatically put them in like the top or like a tier, or like whatever level that we've got them in?
Or maybe they get their own tier, like the sturgeon level, is and that's everyone who sponsored a sturgeon.
Right, and because they paid X amount, and that's like one of the tiers was the sturgeon level, and if you bought that level, then then you've got your fish, you're decorating it, and then you have the extra money goes into the kitty for whatever else.
I like that.
So what we did is we like basically this afternoon we were like, we were going to talk to like Rao, we were going to talk to anybody that we do business with for the town, then we're going to hit them up for sponsorships and helping with the big bicentennial of next year.
So we do have some big players like Preston Ford and Ava Grubb in Federalsburg, and hopefully he'll.
Now is Aquacon going to be mad that it's a sturgeon and not a salmon?
Well, but see, they're saving the sturgeon. So I have already floated that idea with them. Look, I want them to be a sponsor for the Blue Catfish Tournament. I did. Because if they're a sponsor for the Blue Catfish Tournament, the catfish are eating the sturgeon. Therefore, you are ensuring the survival of the sturgeon.
She's got a sturgeon and a catfish, and these poor people trying to sell salmon, and she ain't done a thing for them.
I'm helping them with the MDE issue that they've got with the sturgeon. That's what I'm trying to do.
No, I think it's awesome. We should make little Christmas ornaments for the sturgeon.
That's awesome.
That's it.
And we can
with
sell
200 them. Years.
Yep,
I like
right
it. That little
the
pewter one.
Society,
or perhaps a series of them that come out over the course of the year and you could collect all four.
Guess what you just got tasked with?
I understand your wife's quite
that's
handy.
That's a Denise Nadal thing.
She also had a commission for just a few
hours. Wait a minute. She can do stuff on the computer while, she's with the baby and doing her stay-at-home stuff.
She could. I'm so excited I got the practice my dad jokes to.
Those are good. You better get them in the MVP.
I was going to say, use them now because I'm telling you, in 20 years, they're going to be really bad. So.
Right. Yeah.
They just get worse.
The other thing that we're starting to work on is like some of the, branding that we had talked about. Chief is going to send me the name of the embroidery company that they are using. We were looking at like getting some shirts with this kind of branding on it. Maybe not have the writing because it's harder to reach, but I would like to get like a polo shirt. We did reach out to Angry Bees. Killer Bees. They do screen printing, but we could do some t-shirts with that on the back of the t-shirts or on the front and sell t-shirts because they can do the screen printing. So we're playing around with some of that stuff.
Y'all tried to place in Easton too. I know you might use it in town, but
Bay Imprint.
Yeah.
No, we get all of our Lions Club stuff from them.
I've done a lot of different shirts, and they're one of the best prices I come up with.
Yeah, that's my concern about Killer Bees is
too.
That they're going to be.
That's right. Always good stuff.
Yeah.
We want people to wear them. We want people to start, where we can hang them and post them, like Food Line or wherever. I think people will buy them, but we want a price point that people are going to buy them. So.
Right.
And if we're buying a bulk or enough of them. So that's kind of where we are with working on the bicentennial.
Sounds like it's moving along swimmingly.
Upstream. With the tide. Next we have the annual report. You're going to get
just
a lot of mileage out of that.
Just keep
just
going.
Keep, right, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. The 2021 annual report. So if you guys had a chance to read, it was in the packet. Kudos to Town Manager Dury and staff for putting all that together. It was a great report. I am working in putting it into like a PDF thing that we can use to post on Facebook. I did find a way that I can turn it into one of those flip books. So I'm playing with that. So I will post it for you guys to preview before we put it out to the public. Once I get it into the format, we were playing with pictures and I was trying to get it where it wasn't just words, it was pictures. I love the Canva. By the way, thank you for turning me on to that. I am now a Canva addict with that publishing program, so that has been great. And I will also do a video recap of that. And then we talked to GMB about formatting some of it into large print, and they will print it for us on like the large scale so that we could put it in the window over in the police department as another vehicle to get some of that information out. It wouldn't be every page, but we'll be able to make it concise enough. And then if you want the more detailed stuff, then you can go to the website. So the pictures that I have in the annual report, because I did do a page for town leadership, is all your pictures I took off of the, I took yours off of your Facebook page. I Facebook stuck a picture off of you. And Becky, you're in a tie, and there's like a border behind you. So you can, if you want me a different picture, then you can send me a different picture.
You took a picture.
We should use this doctorate group.
I thought about that. I almost snatched that one. I was very close. I almost took that one. And then the only one I need to get a picture of is town manager Doree. I have Chief sent me a picture. And then everybody else's picture I took off of the town website.
You didn't like my picture from Bari, Italy?
Well, the one picture that you sent me, is that the one with the banner across it?
Welcome to the land of wine.
Well, yes, but I thought you were the guy in... So Larry sent me this picture, and there's this banner with this gentleman with gray hair, and I'm like, why is Larry on a banner? But he's standing in front of the banner. It was a great picture, except your sunglasses are dark. Yeah, that was the only downside of that picture. It was a sunny day. So I need to get a picture from you. So, all right. Does anybody else have any comments on the annual report? Okay. Next, we have mayor and council action items, and then we'll do the executive session after that. So, Councilman Windsor.
Oh, yeah, and the mayor went and. Town manager Doree went. I went to the community conversation, and there was a lot of good ideas come out. Some of them were very good. Some of them were, I thought, not practical. To increase the bus schedule, you know, I don't know how receptive they would be with the fuel prices the way they are. And this one does make more. They felt that we needed more no swimming signs. And the one thing that I'd like to talk to the chief about, and I thought, you know, it was a good idea, is talk to him about having an auxiliary for the police department and just kind of feel him out, see what he said, for 18 to 21-year-olds. And other than that, that's it. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilman Cole?
I was looking for my papers, but were we supposed to talk about the
food? I will. I'm just going to bring it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just saw
but
that.
If you'd like to bring it up, we can bring it. No, you can. Feel free. bring it up as an action item.
I don't know that anybody got this. Anthony Casey from the town of Ridgely sent this to my personal email, but it's the ESAM Spring Dinner and Elections Notice. Mm-hmm. I know. I don't know why we don't get this stuff, but we don't. That is on April 19th, and it's up at Fishtails in Georgetown, Maryland, which used to be the granary. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's $55 a person. They need reservations and payment by April 10th, the Tuesday, I believe. But, The reservations there are no refunds, but you can substitute names. So
that's April 19th.
Yes.
When does it be turned in by?
The 10th.
Which is a Sunday.
Yeah.
April 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A strange
okay.
Day,
and it's from 5:30 to 8, which is a little bit of a push for us because it's a good hour drive.
About an hour.
Yeah, hour and a half or so.
I liked Fisherman's Inn much better.
Well, that's almost an hour there, but
yeah,
it's
but
still
I drive
a lot
that all the time.
The granary used to be good.
I've been to Fish Whistle in Chestertown. It's the same people.
Oh, okay.
So they just moved up there. I'm not sure if they still have the Chestertown one or not, but the food is good. But
So can you just scan or forward the email to all of us, and then we can meet everybody.
Yeah,
if you want
to
go,
today,
then bring it to just you know, let us know what you want to do by the, because we meet April 4th.
So
right?
we should probably make our plans by then. But
okay.
Yeah.
Can you send it to me?
Yep, I'll send it to everyone. I reached out to him about the ESAM dinner at MML,
right.
And I said, if you hear anything, let me know. And so that was like last week or something, and then he sent me this today. So at least he's looking out for us. But but that was it. Unless you want me to talk about the food.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
We received an email from the. It says, on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank, Aaron's Place, and Community Civic League, we would like to use space or parking lot once a month for a drive-by food giveaway. Maryland Food Bank will bring a 24-foot mobile truck to the community, and it looks like the recipients will receive one box of fresh vegetables, one box of canned and staple items, and they plan for 100 families. So they, in talking to Christy before the meeting, they want to use one of our parking lots. I believe they used this one across the street last year, but we were thinking that the marina might be a better fit for them. It's during the day and there's plenty of parking. And if they're getting two big boxes of food, they're not walking, you know, so.
Yeah, I think she did it with a drive-through. Drive-by.
Drive-by.
That way. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they'll pull up and somebody will run it out or something. I'm not really sure.
Man, there's not pull-up room over here.
Yeah, and so. Christy's point was this parking lot gets busy depending on the day of the week and what's going on, and really the marina is pretty much...
My question would actually be, does it have to be a town parking lot? I meant Union Church's drive-through parking lot would be the best.
Yeah, because you can come in one way and out the other way.
That's what I was wondering.
Well, she told me that because she called me first and then I asked her for
the
email.
Because ideally, that'd be you could just pull in and
just
pull in right outside.
Because
you know,
I guess it makes it look like it's attached to the church versus the Maryland Food Bank.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. They did one at the school last year, too. The elementary school.
Hmm. Well, I mean, but see, depending on the day of the week, right? That's what
like on the Saturday or Sunday, that would be ideal because
it's
got in there
out
and you're not all coming, you know.
Right.
But,
yeah. But
with that being said, I don't care if to use either parking lot. But
yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
The marina's probably a better option.
And is she going to let you know which day? Just so we can... okay. Okay, so can I get a motion that we allow the Maryland Food Bank to do their food giveaway at the marina?
I make a motion that we allow the Maryland Food Bank to use the marina for their food giveaway.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes.
Is the marina taking any days this spring?
It would be a weekday, wouldn't it?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I would definitely tell them they can't do it on a weekend because it's packed down there with boaters on the weekend.
Definitely,
but
I'll just make sure they're
I would tell her as long as it's not a Saturday or Sunday.
Yep.
She's fine.
I'll make that clear.
I have to say, Miss Buell must really like you, Christy, because did you see how she signed it?
Yeah.
I have nothing but love for you, Sandra.
Yeah,
so,
she does.
Look at you, you're blushing.
Well, she's giving you a free call, too. You know. Is that it?
That is it.
All right, Councilman Phillips?
Just, Larry, do you know when the contractor's starting up to the ball field?
No. The contractor received a copy of the contract, waiting her signature. I can give her a call tomorrow to ask.
And the reason I ask, there is a Little League team that plays up there. I did not know that from South Carolina, but it's the, like, 12, 13 year old.
It's the one that Mike Mincinatis.
There's
which
only,
is why he was asking,
like, eighth
I'm
grade,
sure.
Maybe. There's only one team in the lower end of the county. They don't have a field in Preston. So they do play up here. It'll be seven games, and the coach or one of the coaches called me Sunday and wanted to know when they were going to get started because they didn't know about practicing and games. And
I'll catch up with Hazel. Again, you know, we all think that it's going to be probably a few days worth of work.
Right.
Once
and that's what I told them. But,
site.
Yeah.
crews mobilized.
I just didn't know what to tell them as far as when I thought they would get started.
I will find out tomorrow, because she's had the contract for about a week after it was discussed in the meeting on the 14th. On the 7th, it pretty much went off to her, so I'll give her a call.
That's all I had.
Thank you. Councilman Willoughby?
Got nothing for action. My questions really will go into executive session. It is March 21st, which is World Down Syndrome Awareness Day. So just making note that Down Syndrome is when you have a third copy of the 21st chromosome. And so if you see people on Facebook today that are rocking crazy socks, that's sort of the thing you do. So just want to mention that, something we do every year. But my questions will go into closed session.
Okay. Thank you. So I did ask Sue Simmons if we could get a soccer net. She is going to check for us, but can we order one anyway to replace the net down at the marina? The kids are down there playing, and the ball goes through the hole, and then they have to... I told the kid that was playing when he missed the goal, I'm like, I can't help you if you miss the goal, but I can at least get you a new net. And he was very appreciative. So, and if Sue can get us one, then we can just use that as a spare. So that would be awesome. I would appreciate ordering one. And I know the kids would appreciate it down there. We probably need to start really getting that road list and working with Steve on that for paving. So if we're going to try to get some stuff done in a timely fashion, that list would be helpful and which roads are the worst and how we're going to rank them. The community meeting that Ed mentioned, it was very well attended. There was probably 25 people there,
at
including
least.
All of us. The tables were filled upstairs. They had only had 3 people RSVP, so they were concerned there wasn't going to be anybody. But you didn't have to RSVP. They were just asking for that as a courtesy. But it was great. They did mention, I talked to Town Manager Dree about the signs at the marina. Technically, we don't own the river, and people could swim in it, even though we have that ordinance. You really can't do that. But what we can post is stuff about swift moving water, you know, and Larry and our town manager Dree and Nate went to a marina thing, and there was stuff about, what was the other signs?
All sorts of things about cleanliness, about recycling, about disposition of waste, so it all went to your... a boat portable toilet or anything when you're out of the water. I mean, all sorts of things. Because the idea is to make the water clean. It's a clean marina initiative.
Right. Okay.
So there's all of that, but the general lack of materials, you know, throw rings, safety ladders, signage, etc. around marinas is, I mean, that's nothing new.
Do we have proper lighting down there? I'm not down there at night, so I don't really...
In my opinion, no, because it gets dark. Still in all, the park's supposed to close at dusk anyway. And I don't even know how well posted that sign is. When the park is supposed to close. So there's a lot of things we can do with signage at that park that are probably necessary. In addition to throw rings, safety ladders, etc.
So we can make a list for what needs to be done down there.
It's all liability. It's an asset, but it also carries a liability with it. Those points were very well taken the other night.
Yeah, I thought it was. And one of the big complaints was that the kids don't have anything to do after school, and that Little League has moved to Preston, and people have to rush home to get their kids to sports fields.
Become involved in Little League.
That's
because
what came
the
out
only
of
reason that left Fettlesburg is because there wasn't a parent involvement in this town.
That's
so
exactly what I told them.
That's on them.
That
not
I told
this
well
body.
The girl that
yes.
the one girl that's, and I don't know who the girl was that spoke. I saw somebody posted. She posted in a comment thing in Facebook about what a good meeting it was. But she said something about the ball fields and something being political, and I'm like, it wasn't us and it wasn't the town as far as I knew about stuff being moved somewhere. And I said, there is a movement to try to bring it back here, so you all need to get with the commissioners of the Little League and start, you know, complaining to get it back here. The ball fields could be in good condition. It wouldn't take much to get them back in shape up at the elementary school. So that's what I told her. I put it back on them because I did speak up on that point.
But, you know, even scouting, I think, is leaving Federalsburg for Preston because they don't have enough activity.
They are, right, they have joined, so the scouts now meet in Preston, right. Because they don't have as many people here in Federalsburg.
It's an overlying issue here.
Well, again, that's
parent involvement because for sure.
Nobody wants to take the Cub Scouts, and without having the Cub Scouts in Federalsburg, there's no scouts moving to the Boy Scouts.
Right.
So now, that's also, after 100 years, you can just about write it off.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah, it is. And then the last thing is, Councilman Sewell and I went to the Bagathon with the county last week, and we asked for our tax differential.
It took me a minute to realize what you said.
The Bagathon. We went to the Bagathon and asked for our tax differential. There is also another meeting in May for the same thing. We turned in the letter, and we asked for the same as what we had last year, which was 8 cents. So Councilman Casey and our Commissioner Casey and myself spoke on the town of why we believe that we need to get our keep our tax differential. And that's all I have. So if somebody would like to make a motion to go into closed session for discussing business location procurement and legal advice.
I make a motion we go into closed session to discuss business location procurement and legal advice.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. 15.